Chapter 4. Vows. Arya's weapon of choice was Needle, of course, but her own sword would not do for sparring practice. She didn't want to hurt Wyla Manderly, not really, even though they were living in close quarters, always cold and often hungry, and the only reason they weren't constantly at each other's throats was that sometimes they teamed up to quarrel with Lyah Mormont. Arya had a bravosi blade with a dulled edge to practice with, courtesy of Brienne. The light, narrow blade favored the quick, darting fighting style that she'd adopted to compensate for her lack of reach or brute strength. Wyla's first choice of weapon was the spear. As a child of White Harbor, she had first learned to fight with a trident. Arya had scoffed when Wyla told her this. A trident isn't a weapon. It is when you grow up at the Merman's court and you have an older sister who's forever teasing you. Wyla had a fair point there. If there had been a trident to hand when Sansa had started calling her Arya Horseface, Arya probably would have made good use of it, too. Wyla had not a little skill with the spear. If this Night's Watch thing doesn't work out, she'd said, I think I might have a future as a spear wife. It had only been half a jest. Wyla would no sooner turn her cloak and go over to the wildlings than Arya or Lyah would. But if there was one thing they could all agree on, it was that it was long past time for them to be permitted to take their vows. Even if Wyla had been armed with a sword rather than a spear, her reach would still have been greater than Arya's. Brienne was fond of mismatches when she set them to sparring. She said it was the best way to learn and improve. And it was true that Wyla was not so quick as Arya, especially not armed with an unwieldy spear. It did mean that Arya spent the opening exchanges dancing out of the way of Wyla's jabs, watching and waiting for an opening. Arya had reluctantly accepted that, as she was approaching 7 and 10, she probably wasn't going to get any taller. And Brienne counseled patience in a fight. Your opponents will underestimate you because of your size. They will try to finish you quickly, lest it be said that a slight girl tests them in battle. And when they overextend themselves, that is your chance. It was good advice, and for the most part, Arya managed to follow it. But she did spend so much of her practice fights dancing and weaving that she thought her footwork must be the equal of any knight in the kingdoms. Arya fainted right, then twisted and made a lunge for Wyla's undefended side. Wyla saw the move and brought her spear across. Even with its blunted point, the spear sheared through Arya's quilted armor and through the flesh and muscle of her forearm. Arya blinked. She watched the blood well up through the ripped fabric. She tried to keep her grip on her practice blade, but she could no longer feel her fingers, and she watched curiously as the hilt slipped from her hand. Wyla swore blasphemously on at least 3 of the 7. She wadded up the bottom of her cloak and pressed it against Arya's bloody forearm. Brienne was alerted by Wyla's frantic oaths. She frowned at Arya's arm and pursed her lips over her crooked teeth. You'd better take her to see the Maester, Manderly, she said. As Arya let Wyla herd her away from the training yard, she thought that she hadn't yet had cause to visit Castle Black's Maester. And women still weren't allowed to study at the Citadel, were they? So this Maester, she was some kind of learned woman from across the Narrow Sea, or a sister of the Night's Watch who'd been a septa or a midwife before taking the Black and had some knowledge of healing? On their way to the rookery, they ran across Lyah just coming out of the common hall. She looked at Arya's bloody arm and said, Gods, I knew you two were quarreling, but I didn't think it was about to get violent. It was a training accident, said Wyla, and she looked so stricken that Arya gave her the best grin she could muster and said, Course it was, and I'll be quicker next time. I can take her to the Maester if you like, Lyah offered. I know her a bit. She's the one who's been training me with the bow. Like all the Mormonts, Lyah had been trained in the use of the mace and the axe, but at Castle Black she'd turned out to have a keen eye and a talent for the double-curved bow. Brienne was a knight. Well, as good as a knight, anyway. And as such, she knew little of archery. Wyla dragged her hand through her long hair, which had been growing out and was now equal parts sickly green and her natural dirty blonde. Yeah, thanks. Leah took Arya's uninjured arm and walked with her to the rookery. A woman came down the steps to meet them. She was young, with fine golden hair and innocent blue eyes. But that was as far as her prettiness went. Her nose and jaw looked like they'd been badly broken at some point and never healed properly. Arya frowned through the pain and wondered if this was the maester come archery master. The woman held her hands, drowned in overlong sleeves, over her mouth, and said something mushy, broken-sounding, and completely incomprehensible. But Leah nodded and said, "Yeah, fetch Sirella. Thanks, Pia." "Is that real?" Arya asked. The woman who had emerged to usher Arya and Leah into her bedchambers had a widow's peak and the dark skin of a summer islander, and she wore a maester's chain with links of copper, silver, and black iron over her sleek black furs. "Yes, completely real. I thought they didn't let women study to become maesters," said Arya, as Sirella peeled torn fabric away to reveal a bloody gouge out of Arya's forearm. "They do if they don't know that you're a woman," said Sirella with a grin. "You're lucky. This is deep, but you haven't damaged any tendons or lost too much blood. I'll have to clean it, though. Pia, how's that boiling wine coming along? Young Mormont, would you..." Arya found herself bundled into bear-like embrace by Leah. The other girl wasn't much taller than Arya, but she was built along the same lines as her mother. Squat and solid. "What?" Arya began. But then the maester poured boiling wine over her wounded arm, and she bit her lip hard and tried not to fight against Leah's hold. As her wound was stitched, and then wrapped in clean white linens, Arya distracted herself from the discomfort by looking around Sirella's chambers. The parts of it that weren't given over to assorted bows and half-fletched arrows were given over to books and scrolls, like the ones Maester Lewin had back at Winterfell. "And you're truly a maester?" "Maester Sirella, here to serve the Night's Watch. Although, I trained under the name Alaros." Sirella grinned at Arya, seeing that Arya had quickly worked out the alias was only her name reversed. "I thought myself clever in those days." "And now?" Arya asked. "I studied at the Citadel, forged my chain, and learned enough to realize how little I truly knew. When the Conclave discovered the truth of my identity, they offered me a choice. Either they would take my chain, or I could take the Black and serve as the first true maester of the Night's Watch in 100 years. To this day, I'm not sure if it was meant as a punishment or a great opportunity." She finished binding Arya's arm. "Right. You'll live." "Thank you," said Arya, hopping to her feet. "Oh, and I'm Arya Stark." "I know," said Sirella. "You look just like..." "I know, I look just like my Aunt Lyanna," Arya frowned. "Only shorter." "What's the problem with the girl?" Arya asked Leah, as they wandered back towards the Silent Tower. Leah frowned. "Who? Sirella?" Arya held her gloved hands over her mouth and mumbled incoherently. Leah gave a bark of laughter, then coughed, and bumped Arya's shoulder with her own. "That's Pia, and don't be horrible. It's a sad story. I heard that she was some kind of servant at Harrenhal when the Ironborn tried to take it. She got taken by a group of soldiers to be shared between them, and it was their captain who smashed her face and knocked out half of her teeth for talking too much." "How'd she end up here?" Leah shrugged. "Nowhere else to go. The king gave Harrenhal to Prince Viserys, and he didn't want anyone who'd collaborated with the Ironborn there." Arya immediately decided that she disliked this Prince Viserys. A bit of a strange definition of collaboration. Cirella says that Castle Black is the best place for her. No men. She'd be a liability in battle, of course. But so long as she's left alone in the rookery to tend to her birds, she's happy enough. Arya shuddered. She was thinking of her watch partner, Kira, as well as Pia. Seven hells! And to think my mother was worried about me being in danger at the wall! There'll be danger enough once we take our vows, said Leah. Wyla wasn't in the Silent Tower when Arya and Leah returned. It was her turn to stand an all-night watch. But on Arya's bed they found a pair of steel vambraces that Wyla must have dug out from the pile of ill-matched armor that the sisters equipped themselves from. And just like that, their quarrels were forgotten. The three girls broke their fast in the common hall together the next morning. Arya was wondering if her arm was going to scar. Her Aunt Lyanna had a scar on her shoulder from where a wildling's axe had cut her practically to the bone. The scar and the story that went with it had horrified Jon and Sansa, for different reasons, but had, at various times, delighted Robb, Arya and Bran, and Rickon. Although now she was at the wall herself, Arya found the story decidedly less glamorous. "Ah, just the people I was looking for," called Kira, wending her way through the crowded hall and stopping at their bench. As always, when Arya saw Kira indoors, she thought that the older woman looked uncomfortable and lopsided without her crossbow. "Why?" Wyla asked suspiciously. Usually, when one of the full sisters sought them out, it was because they thought of some particularly tedious or unpleasant duty to dump on the girls who hadn't yet taken their vows. "The Lady Commander's steward has taken ill. She needs someone to fill in for a few days." Leah slouched down on her bench and looked like she'd prefer to be under the table. Wyla shrugged and said, "So, send a couple of the ankle biters." Kira reached out and wrapped her knuckles on top of Wyla's head. "She's the Lady Commander, idiot. She needs someone who knows her letters. And as you three are all fine highborn folk..." Arya looked across at Leah, who was desperately trying to avoid making eye contact with Kira, and said, "I'll go." She held up her injured arm and added, "I doubt Brienne will let me train until this is healed anyway." Arya spent the next week squiring for Lady Mage, just like Bran was squiring for Uncle Blackfish in Riverrun, she thought. She fetched the morning's messages from Pia in the rookery, doubled back via the common hall to collect the Lady Commander's breakfast, ham and black bread, and then picked her way over to the Lord Commander's tower. She opened any messages that weren't marked for the Lady Commander's eyes only, while Lady Mage broke her fast. Today there was a message from Wenda, who commanded the Shadow Tower. Arya felt a jolt of excitement when she'd first realized that this Wenda was none other than Wenda the White Fawn of the Knightswood Brotherhood. That Wenda had been a childhood hero of Arya's as she'd run around Winterfell pretending to shoot her brothers with imaginary arrows, much to her mother's dismay. Lady Catelyn considered a convicted bandit an even less fitting person for a young girl's hero worship than Rhaenyra Targaryen. Arya frowned at Wenda's message, both because of the terrible hand it was written in. Rumor had it that Wenda had only learned her letters after taking the black, and because of the message itself. "The Shadow Tower reports no news of Mia Stone, my lady," which meant no news of Arya's Aunt Lyanna either. Lady Mage caught Arya's eye and said heartily, "There's no point in worrying yet. Mia and your aunt are both fine rangers. Anything else?" "Asha Greyjoy writes to inform you that Eastwatch is under-garrisoned," Arya reported. Lady Mage grumbled under her breath and said, "I'll send her some more women when the next batch of recruits takes their vows. That will include you, Stark." Arya all but quivered where she stood. "Your friend with the green hair, Manderly, is it? And my Lyanna, will say their words too. She prefers to be called Leah, Arya corrected automatically, and then wished she'd bitten her tongue. The Lady Commander didn't mind Arya speaking freely in her presence, but this wasn't watch business. This was family. My lady? Lady Mage leaned back and regarded Arya carefully. I met your aunt when she was young. She was a pretty, willful fool. The stupidity with Rhaegar and her bastard proved that well enough. But I never thought her a traitor, and I wanted the whole North to know it. Still, it cannot have been an easy name for my youngest daughter to grow up under. Do you still think my aunt the fool? Arya asked. Lady Mage snorted. I have nothing but respect for Lyanna Stark as a sister of the Night's Watch and first ranger of Castle Black. Arya couldn't help but notice that wasn't an answer. But before she could dig herself in further by saying so, the Lady Commander dismissed her. Go and tell your friends that you will all take your vows on the next morning. The gossip that they were to take their vows in the morning spread through Castle Black like the bloody flux. You could still run for it in the night, Mega said gloomily, as she ladled them out 3 slightly larger than usual servings of stew. They were called individually to the rookery to see Sirella, so that the maester could tell them to which duties they would be assigned after taking their vows. Tall Wyla Manderly, with her spear, was assigned to the nomadic guard who garrisoned each of the Night's Watch abandoned forts by turn. She would leave first for Icemark. Leah Mormont was to stay at Castle Black, and would, by turn, lend her bow to the hunting parties that helped to feed the watch, and her axe to those builders who were attempting to hack back the haunted forest, where it was encroaching on the wall. Arya was to go to Eastwatch by the Sea, to serve under Asha Greyjoy as a ranger and scout. She was pleased with the assignment, but part of her had been hoping to be sent to the Shadow Tower. Because of Wenda the White Fawn? Asked Leah, who had shared Arya's childhood fascination with the famed bandit. My grandfather says that you should never meet heroes or kings. You'll only end up disappointed, Wyla put in. All 3 of them were packing their belongings. Arya and Wyla to go to Eastwatch and Icemark. Leah was moving 50 yards away to the Flint Barracks. She said there was no point in her rattling around the Silent Tower on her own. Leah cleared her throat awkwardly. The gods know I've wanted to hang both of you from the top of the wall by your thumbs at times. She trailed off. Arya crossed the room to Leah and bumped her shoulder affectionately against the other girls. I couldn't have done it without you either, stupid. Wyla made a mock gagging sound, and Leah threw a baldric at her. Yes, okay, she conceded. I would have turned tail for White Harbor before the first week was out if it hadn't been for you two. Happy now? They dressed in their finest, their blackest clothes. Arya polished and sharpened needle and hung the sword from her hip. She polished her vambraces and ringmail shirt, too. Brienne and Kira were to escort Arya and Leah to the heart tree beyond the wall to say their vows. Wyla looked towards the Sept for a long, lingering moment before she said, No, we came to the wall together. We should say our vows together. Their party was mounting up by the gate when a watcher on the wall blew her horn. Just once. One blast meant rangers returning. The gates were slowly, painfully, creaking and groaning with every inch, opened, and Lyanna Stark and Mia Stone walked their mounts through the tunnel under the ice. Arya's Aunt Lyanna appeared whole, apart from what looked like a swollen bite mark along her jaw. Before, Arya would not have been able to stop herself from demanding the story behind it at once. But there would be time enough for Lyanna to tell her later, once Arya had said her vows and they were both sisters of the Night's Watch. "You're saying your vows today?" Lyanna asked, dismounting. Arya nodded mutely, then managed to indicate Wyla and Leah. "All of us, before the Heart Tree." "I'll come," said Lyanna. "I'll need a new horse. I fear I have ridden this one to exhaustion." A steward was sent to the stables for a fresh mount for the first ranger. Lyanna gripped Arya's shoulder and said, "I'm proud of you, as would Ned be." Mia Stone rolled her eyes, hoisted the leather bag that she'd dropped at her feet when she dismounted, and said, "I guess I'll take the Weeper's Head to the Lady Commander by myself, then." As excited as they all were to say their vows, Arya, Wyla, and Leah all found their attention diverted by the severed head of the infamous wildling raider and raper in a bag swinging jauntily from Mia Stone's hand. Arya would have said that the Heart Tree in Winterfell's Godswood was the oldest living thing in the world. That was before she saw the Heart Tree in the Haunted Forest. Even Wyla and Brienne of Tarth, who didn't follow the old gods, fell gravely silent in its presence. Arya Stark, Wyla Manderly, and Leah Mormont knelt in the snow before the tree, and in three voices, knitten together into one, they said, "Night gathers, and now my watch begins. It shall not end until my death. I shall take no husband and bear no children. I shall wear no gowns and no jewels. I shall live and die at my post. I am the sword in the darkness. I am the watcher on the walls. I am the shield that guards the realms of men. I pledge my life's blood to the Night's Watch for this night and all the nights to come." The end. The music used in this podfic is The Night's Watch by Raman Djawadi. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. And from there, you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening!